talk about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence with Prince, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this June the 25th on the West Coast, now June the 26th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, as well as on BlogTalkRadio.com. Got a lot that we want to discuss this evening, and as usual, we have our regular Friday night guest with us. Before we get into any discussion, or before, actually, I'd like to play an audio archive that I think is pretty pertinent to what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico oil catastrophe. Whether this is intentional, which it appears to be on all counts, a false flag event, or the remote possibility that it is a natural event, which is hardly possible, since oil wells are not natural, and the disasters that occur with them are usually the fault of people, whether accidental or intentional or just pure incompetence. It appears from all angles that this incident in the Gulf of Mexico, I keep wanting to say New Mexico, the Gulf of Mexico is a pre-planned event. We can gauge that on a number of issues, and we're going to talk about that. I'm going to go right ahead and bring tonight's guest on board. He is my co-host on Friday nights, has been for the past 3 years. He's a scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, and he is also our resident science advisor here on Evident Footprints, my good friend, Mr. Jim Murray. Jim, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. How are you doing tonight? You sound pretty energetic.
Well, I'm fired up. I've got a clip that I'd like to play. This was recorded in June on, let's see, June 19th, which is roughly a week ago, at the Gulf Emergency Summit. And the speaker is a regular person. This is not a media person. This is not a representative of BP. It is not a representative of any government agency, just a concerned mother who has quite a unique story to tell. And I thought it would be a good way of opening up the conversation. We've all heard the media, what they have to say about this. Many of us have listened to government hearings in Washington, D.C. in particular. And as far as my estimation, it's all a farce and a big cover-up. Everybody's pointing the finger at everyone else. And then after we listen to this, I'd like your comments, Jim, and then I'd like to discuss some new information that seems to be developing in real time. So with that, we're going to listen to Mrs. Kendra Arneson of Burris, Louisiana, at the Gulf Emergency Summit on the 19th of June, 2010.
Welcome, Kendra Arneson.
Thank you. Okay, I'm not usually a speech giver, so you guys bear with me. I'll try to make this as painless as possible. To explain to you where I live, I am indeed the one on the very end. I am at Point 5 on Highway 23 in South Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana. Keep in mind through what I have to say that I am the mother of a 5-year-old little boy and an 8-year-old little girl who look like their dad. That being said, when this first happened, I really didn't know what to do, who to ask questions to, who was going to give us answers. The first day we were introduced to anyone from BP, they came into our building and said, BP does business right. Yeah, can you believe that? BP does business right, and we're here to take care of everything, folks. Well, 61 days later, that's a joke, to say the least. Just to give you guys kind of a perspective of where I've been, 4 weeks ago, I set up a town hall meeting, and I indeed did pin down all the fault, and I had a stutter by the end of their speech. At any rate, I was invited the following week to go behind enemy lines. They gave me, of all people, security clearance to go into the base of operations meetings in Venice, Louisiana, 8 a.m., open door invitation to sit like a fly on the wall. Can you believe it? It's really going on. They also gave me security clearance to go into the Houma Incident Command Post, which is over the entire region of Louisiana. I've been in Coast Guard planes all the way out to the site itself, helicopters, boat rides. I have been everywhere anybody could ever want to go to really get an inside look as to what's going on. Now, I want to start by telling you guys that I am not at all impressed. Someone told me this morning that they thought I had crossed over. Well, I quit the team a long time ago. My father was a commercial fisherman, and my husband's a commercial fisherman. Every man that I've ever known, loved, and respected is on the water. They're good men. At any rate, for the past week, I've heard in the ops meeting, we need to cut costs. Yes, that is what they have said, that they need to cut costs. I almost came out of my chair the first time I heard it, but I'm trying to stay where I am because someone has to be on the inside overlooking and seeing as to what's going on the ground. That being said, where I've seen cutting costs is quite unfortunate. What we call in Venice, what they call, the first we've got to understand this phrase, ponies and balloons. Well, the only place I've ever seen ponies and balloons is at a circus, right? At any rate, about a week and a half in, I learned what ponies and balloons meant. Ponies and balloons means that every time an official is headed anywhere near here, they get a heads up. All assets are deployed into the harvested areas. The official comes in, flies over. Good job, fellas. Pats them on the back. When the official disappears out of the harvested area, so does 75 to 80% of the response. It's happening. It's happening every day. I'm watching it. I'm seeing it. I don't agree with it. Anyone in this room's not going to agree with it. And our great nation's not going to agree with it. We are expendable to these people. We do not matter. Now, I'm going to get off that. And I'm sorry I talk in circles, but that's the coon ass in me. Y'all can follow me and let me know. At any rate, I'm going to go into the health issues for a moment, if you don't mind. I've sat through endless hours of meetings with BP's safety officers. I've sat through an hour and 45-minute meeting with the Coast Guard safety officer, both in the Houma Incident Command Post, as well as a gentleman from OSHA. In order to obtain a respirator for our responders, now this isn't just commercial fishermen. I'm talking about Coast Guard members, all responders, people off the street, everybody involved. Number one, they have to fill out an OSHA questionnaire. Number two, they have to have a physical evaluation by a medical professional. But EPA is doing air monitoring. Everything's okay. It's great. Yeah, imagine that. At any rate, there is, in fact, some act somewhere in OSHA's law that says that volunteers have a right to wear a volunteer respirator. But, as we all know, BP is taking over our Gulf. BP rules right now our Gulf. I mean, bottom line, that's who's in charge of the situation. They couldn't even all not run their own company and they were in charge of this response. I'm totally appalled. They can't wear a volunteer respirator. Because if they're not properly trained, BP's rules are they have to be properly trained in order to wear a respirator. Now, BP said that they will provide the training and they will provide a respirator. But everything's okay. So they don't need to be trained and they don't need a respirator. And as far as the right to wear voluntary respiration, guess what? If you don't follow BP's rules, you don't have a job. And that's what they told me. Now, I asked them to discuss the 7 men that were brought, 1 by helicopter and 6 by ambulance. I asked them if they were at liberty to discuss that with me. And they said, yes, ma'am, we are. I guess these guys didn't realize who they were talking to. Number 1 response from Mr. Hayward was food poisoning. 4 different boats, all in, way away from each other, food poisoning. 2nd response was heat exhaustion. Then, Wednesday a week ago, when I sat with OSHA and BP safety officer, the OSHA man informed me that all 4 boats took Pine-Sol, sprayed it all over their boats, and then sat and breathed in the fumes all day long, and that's what caused the chemical poisoning. Hold on a second. I've been on boats all my life. I've been with captains all over the place. When we spray something on our boat, we wash it right off. If not, it eats the paint off the boat. We take care of ourselves. So that right there was just as blatant out why. So then I asked him to throw one out left field at him. I said, well, what about the people on I-11? He said, it's funny you asked me about that, because I was working that job. We were following them around with respirators, begging them to put them on. And he actually pointed the finger at our New York firefighters. Yeah, he did. People who are dying a slow death as we sit in this room right now from chemical poisoning, put the finger at them and said that they turned around and gave him the one finger salute and said, we're not wearing a respirator, we're looking for our friends. Trained firefighters in New York? Are you serious? I wanted to just slap him in the face. But I was good. At any rate, you know, my children have broke out in 4 rashes. My child broke out in a rash the first time. I took her to Florida for 4 days. It magically cleared up. I brought her back. She broke out again. I left. She cleared up. Now, today, she's broke out again. Not to mention that my beautiful, healthy, straight-A student, gorgeous daughter has a double ear infection, upper respiratory problem. I left and went to Baton Rouge, and as I drove back home, clearing the throat, the stickiness, the upper respiratory irritation. You know, the bottom line here is, this morning I contacted Ms. Marla Cooper, who is District 9 Councilwoman for Plaquemines Parish. And Ms. Marla has 3 grandchildren in our area, and she's just a great grandparent, a good mom. And I told her, Ms. Marla, we have got to call for an evacuation of our area. We cannot allow our citizens to sit like we're out in the middle of it. We are. This stuff's on all 3 sides of my home. I walk outside and there's a haze. They're called bad air days. Folks, stay inside. Put your air conditioner on recirculation. Everything's just fine. Why do we need to block ourselves up in our house? You really think that's going to cut it? Do you really think that's going to make the situation better? No, it's not. Where do you think the air comes from that's in the house? Outside the house. These people, they never cease to amaze me. The lack of humanity here. I know that my parish only makes up 2% of Louisiana's population, but does that make my people expendable? This is unacceptable. They are slowly poisoning every person that I've ever been close to in my entire life, and I'm standing here saying no more. Now, if I ruffle some feathers and make some people mad, so be it. I don't care. My people are more important to me than their bottom line. And that is my bottom line. So basically, this whole ponies and balloons act, if someone does not come in and properly oversee this response, our marsh now is being used as a boom, an overlap boom, a big giant sponge. On both sides of us. It will fill up. It is filling up constantly. We have heavy, heavy crew penetrating our marsh all over the place right now as we speak. They deploy and then they pull them back in when a politician comes in. This is not acceptable. They're not cleaning it up. They're covering it up. We're barely into this. This could go on for years and years, and they're already cutting costs, cutting costs, cutting corners, and taking shortcuts is why we're all sitting in this room today. Enough is enough. Now, as far as EPA, OSHA, NOAA, BP, BP and federal government, that every one of us in collaboration with each other. That comes from someone at the top of NOAA. That's the kind of people I've been talking to. That came from someone at the top of NOAA. But they're all in collaboration with BP. Are you serious? Who do these people work for? I thought these were our agencies to protect our better interests, our world, our earth, our lives. And what is going on here? Are we that dependent upon these banks to just roll over and let them poison our world and our people in it? This is unacceptable. A week after this started, they want to say nothing's going on, nothing's dying. A week after this started, I traveled 70 miles east of the original site. There would be shells floating all over the top of the water, hundreds of thousands of them. They were empty because they were dead. I've never seen a shell float in my life. Dead, a week after. 4 weeks ago, when the oil was projected to hit the west side of our peninsula, I was so mad after I went down to Pass Lucha and seen what wasn't being done there that I got in my boat, my time, and I took a trip. I also had Fox National News on my boat. I traveled from Red Pass, 10 miles to Four Bayous, about 10 miles the east side of Grand Isle. Now, the oil was projected to hit that side of the peninsula that day. 30 miles, I did not run into one responder. I did not run into one piece of boom, hard or soft. 150 feet of sandbags on a 30-mile stretch of shoreline. This is unacceptable. So I decided on the way back, well, let me just go out from the coast a little bit and see what's going on. I ran into oil 3/4 of a mile off our coast. Not sheen, crude. As I'm traveling along back towards Red Pass, I look over the Gulf and I notice that there's big swarms of birds. That's not unusual. I figured they were diving on bait, but why are they diving into the ocean? Because birds don't know any better. We traveled out towards the birds. I wanted to see what they were diving into. I want to know. As we get out to the birds, I don't know if you've been on the water much or if you've seen a big school of fish. They have like a boil in the water. And it looks like a pot boiling. The fish boil the water. It moves. As we drift into it, it's big bull rats with their mouths open on top of the water, laying sideways, swimming upside down in a circle. Again, hundreds of thousands of them, school after school after school. They were dying. They were so disoriented that they were running into the side of my boat. That's a real good question. Fox National News swears it's on their website, but I've searched it up and down. I've got the camera man's phone number in my purse right here. We can call Matt and find out exactly what it's like. I've called and asked them for it over and over again, and they won't give it to me. You know what? Everybody's saying a media blackout. Yes, ma'am, there is a media blackout. Sydney, Australia, 60 Minutes came over, and they did a real nice piece. I watched it on their website. The transcript is still there. 24 hours after the video hit the website, it disappeared. You know, as far as the fishermen can catch shrimp elsewhere comment, I want to make something real clear. We have been fighting imports and regulations for the last 20 years. They have regulated us to the point, as commercial fishermen, that my husband personally has 7 different permits. The only thing that my husband does not do is oyster. So if there's shrimp somewhere else, or we can use gill net or whatever we need to use in order to provide a food source for this country, a natural way to feed people, then somebody point me in that direction and let me know where it is, because I've looked all over the place. I came back here 4.5 years ago and rebuilt the dirt because this is my home and I love Louisiana. I live right out in the middle of nowhere in the boondocks. The bottom line here is, if the country does not stand up and say no more, we must take action. We cannot sit back. And if this stuff does not stop, guys, this is going to go global. It will destroy 1/3 of the world's water. Bank on it. If they do not stop this, every ocean is connected. It will go on and on and on, as my daughter says, infinity plus two. Enough's enough. I'll take any questions after. Thank you for listening.
Broadcast News. And that is, that was Kendra Arneson. from Louisiana. Now, in the voice of a regular person, a mother of two children, an 8-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old son, Jim Murray, I don't know how audible that was over the phone. There is a lot of background noise and a lot of echo, but hopefully you could get the gist of what she was saying. Any comments?
Don, in all honesty, I couldn't understand one word of it. I'm hoping that, you could paraphrase, you know, the basis of her delivery so that I can comment on it, because unfortunately it was so garbled at my end that I really, it was just gibberish. I couldn't get a word of it.
Okay, I apologize for that. Hopefully those listening online could hear it a little bit better. There was a humming of an air conditioning unit that sounded like a snare drum roll throughout the whole piece, and she was drowning in the reverb of the tiled room they were in. They could have done a better job with the audio, but I'll paraphrase what this lady said. Basically, she was given the opportunity to see what was going on the Gulf of Mexico. Her family is a fishing family. She spent her whole life working on ships. She described four crews that suffered from chemical poisoning. The authorities lied and said that they had put Pine Sol on their boats and left it there, and they were overcome by the fumes of the Pine Sol. I'm sure Pine Sol would love to hear about that. Then, of course, she made the comment, we know how to take care of our boats. If we're washing off our boats, we know how to rinse off soap or whatever we're using to clean them. She said that her property, and she basically describes where she lives as in the boondocks. There's a marsh on all three sides of the ocean side of her property, and everything's bathed in crude oil. Birds and fish are flopping in the water, turning in circles. She said that a whole group of fish came up to their boat and literally was so disoriented they were banging into the boat, flopping around. They were on their backs and just swimming in circles. Anyone who knows what benzene does to the nervous system can understand what these animals are going through. This is a woman whose face is filled with anguish as she's speaking. And she says that whenever there is a dignitary or a politician, maybe dignitary is not the proper word, any important person coming around, they want to know about it. And they use the term ponies and balloons, like you use at a circus to draw attention. When somebody says ponies and balloons, they're giving them a heads up that someone's about to come and inspect the area, and they bus in some workers real fast to make it look like there's some cleanup going on. As soon as the person leaves, those people disappear. She's made comments about the fact that though her parish is about 2% of the whole population of Louisiana, she doesn't consider anybody in that parish to be dispensable. But BP does. BP is running the Gulf. BP is running the shoreline. And she's outraged that the government is doing nothing about it other than they're in collusion. In fact, she talked to some people, and she said all the government agencies, FEMA and OSHA and NOAA and, of course, the short-legged Mac Daddy in Washington, D.C., and BP are all in collusion with each other over this whole thing. And it's time that people start waking up and do something about it. She's doing her part. That's a woman. It's a woman standing up to these multinational corporations. She went into great detail about what's happening to the food supply. They earn their living from fishing, and it's not just a question of giving people money. They still eat. They still fish. She said her husband had to get 7 different permits to go to other areas to find shrimp. They're shrimpers primarily. And then she said her husband really will fish for anything other than oysters. She says, we can't even find food anywhere, anything that you would want to give to people. So that, in a nutshell, is what she talked about. Any comments now?
Well, it seems pretty obvious to me that for whatever reason, a whole bunch of these criminals is out to destroy all the states encircling the Gulf. I mean, it's just as clear as a bell that that's the agenda. You know, it doesn't matter if they hadn't had a total solution, but if they were sincere, they would have done something. Even the sources that I have who are actually present in that vicinity have told me that it's all lip service. Apparently they're doing absolutely nothing. This nonsensical idiocy of having people in rowboats with some type of absorbent cloth, and they go around patting the weeds and brushing the shoreline, is sheer idiocy. I mean, you've got an oil slick that's the size of Pennsylvania, and it's growing daily. And these idiots are cleaning weeds. It's an obvious scam of some sort. I don't know exactly what they expect to get out of it, but I can tell you one thing. I don't think the outcome is going to be what they expect. I really think that sooner or later, people are going to get so ticked off that they're going to take matters into their own hands. That's what I think. I think Louisiana is ready to do it now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right, Jim. And, you know, you hit the nail right on the head in one respect. Dr. A. Truott, who's been a regular Monday night guest here on the show, has penned a new research piece. And he's looking at this whole cap-and-trade issue, which is quite possibly the reason why this false flag event was performed. In other words, BP loses $20 billion up front, and they turn around and make trillions because they're heavily invested into alternative forms of energy. For instance, you know, they've been pushing this issue of using windmills and producing electrical power with windmills. Well, how they're going to get that power into the cars and the trucks and all the various devices that use gasoline engines or diesel engines is another issue. But cap and trade is going to be sold as a credit on the stock market. And Dr. Rott, on his show this evening and in a paper he just penned called BP, Beyond Petroleum or Beyond Ponzi, describes this whole thing basically as a Ponzi scheme. And this issue of cap and trade is being handled by a company in Chicago called CCX. And Michelle Obama's name comes up in that. So they're setting up their next financial scheme with this, hoping to force Congress to pass cap and trade so that they can tax us on the illusion that we are creating carbon monoxide or carbon dioxide, and that's taxable. They're calling carbon dioxide a greenhouse gas. So, in essence, this is a false flag, and they made money on the front end of it, and they're going to try to make money on the back end. They made money on the put options that were played in Europe 3 days before this event began on April 20th. Adolf Hitler's birthday. I mean, the stench of the dates that they're using for this whole thing is a tip-off in and of itself. Forget about what the crude oil smells like or all the death and destruction that they're committing on the Gulf. Now they're promoting Kevin Costner's investment into his brother's centrifuges. These are devices that basically suck up the water and separate the oil and water. And I don't know what they do with all that water. Do they just put it right back into the ocean to be contaminated again? It picks up 99%, which is a drastic cleanup. I think it spent a whole day and basically handled 128,000 gallons or 128,000 barrels of water separating the oil. Well, there's no indication how much oil that picked up. Just saying that they spun that much water through this centrifuge. And they're going to order another 32 of them. For the whole ocean, to me, it just sounds like more insanity. I don't know. I don't know if you've heard of that device, and this is not about dropping lugs on Kevin Costner or on his brother, but they have to do the Hollywood approach, you see. There are enough people out there that have products that can be used that have to be manufactured. I'm sure Kevin Costner's not sitting with 100,000 of these devices. That they're going to have to order them, and somebody's going to have to pay for them, and they're going to have to manufacture them, just like they would have to manufacture Amerihaz or any other compound that could be used to pick up the oil and the benzene. There's no discussion of whether or not this device takes the benzene out, but I would suspect that it doesn't, that it's more based on the separation that occurs through that centrifuge, through centrifugal force, and whatever benzene is in the water is going to be there. And it's going to leave...
Yeah, I agree with you there, because what the centrifuge is going to do, really, is artificially increase the density of the water by virtue of centrifugal force. And that's going to cause the separation of the oil and the water. And the oil can be skimmed off or pumped out or whatever. But that is definitely not going to do anything for whatever gaseous materials are dissolved in the water. And there's no question of the fact that when you have as much material escaping as we've noticed is coming out of that well, that there's... And it's 3,000 or 4,000 feet down. So, I mean, it's got plenty of time to for its gaseous components to dissolve in water. It doesn't matter how much. It only takes a few parts per million. But I guarantee you it won't be clear water. All we got to do is get a glass of that and let some politicians drink it, and we'll find out just how good the separation was.
Yeah,
that's a great idea right there.
That's the best idea I've heard so far. Let them drink it. Give them buckets full of it, in fact. Waterboard them with it. Why don't we? That's what we should do. You know, they say waterboarding's not torture. Waterboard them with that water and see how fast they talk. See which one is the first to give up and tell us what's really going on. I think we pretty much got it figured out. Now, another thing I want to mention, too, is that, you know, the hydrogen sulfide that goes into the water. I've heard scientists say, well, it's really not a threat. I don't know. I don't know about that, because through the various changes that hydrogen sulfide can go through just being in that water and being mixed with petroleum, is there not a point where sulfuric acid could be produced? Actually,
yeah, that's possibility, but I'll tell you what the worst possibility and what I think is the immediate effect of it. in, especially in the quantities that are reported. You know, fish breathe oxygen that's dissolved in water. And if those gases take the place of that oxygen, then all of the material, all of the biological entities that are in that water are going to perish. And that certainly seems to me exactly what's happening. Now, I realize that the people in charge of all of this couldn't care less about fish life because they don't give a hoot about human life. But for the rest of us who respect the work of the creation, it's an atrocity, and it's going to continue unless somebody starts to do something about it.
Yes. And it's apparent that they're pushing this. They're pushing for the approval of this cap and trade agreement, which is basically going to result in trillions and trillions of dollars. And this is all over lies. Now, I want to comment too. I flipped on the boob tube for all of 2 minutes to see what CNN was reporting on this, and. I'm going to use the anchor's name, Rick Sanchez. I've always suspected that this guy was CIA. I'm serious. I always suspected he was just a pure CIA agent playing a role as a newscaster on CNN. And I looked a little bit into his background. He worked at a station in Miami. And he comes on the air, and anybody who says anything about any topic where we're revealing truth that slaps the spin and the propaganda in the face, this guy goes to the manual on mind control, the propaganda manual that they use to train these TV anchors to contradict a knowledgeable guest or to contradict the truth. And this guy was responding, and he got the meteorologist Karen McGinnis on the screen with him, and they're talking about, is it possible for it to rain oil? We've heard accounts from people that they've got oil on their cars and on their houses and on their kids' toys in the yard and on the lawn and on all their plants. That it's been raining, that the weather's been churning, and the wind blowing from unusual directions, and they're finding oil. And they're trying to debunk this on the news. And the guy uses the old Soviet tactic of making a ridiculous statement about the person or the story or the claim being made, and then follow it up with another one. And the guy has the gall to say, And I suppose George Bush is responsible for bringing down those towers on 9/11, too. He threw that in there as well. Well, we know the truth about that. And now, the way he said it is like Bush is solely responsible for that. Well, no, Mr. Sanchez, we happen to know that Israel was involved, and we know Dick Cheney was involved, and we know that Rockefellers were involved, and George Soros was involved, and Akamai Technologies, MIT, and I can give names, and I can tell you that the people who were on those lists of victims on Flight 11 are still alive. So before you start spouting your mouth out about 9/11, know your facts, Buster. Know your facts. Jim, you've never heard me talk to anybody in the mainstream media like that. But I'll be damned if I'm gonna listen to the lies and the mind control and the propaganda come out of their mouths while people are dying, people are getting sick, and animals are being destroyed. The marine life in the Gulf is being destroyed for what? So a bunch of criminals in Chicago and New York and Washington can pocket some money? It's ridiculous. It's about time people get off their rear ends and start voicing their discontent with what's going on. So I hope you heard that.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
I hope that came through.
Oh, yeah, that came through loud and clear. And, you know, here's another thing. I realize that it's going to take time for this to happen. But at the rate that that oil is coming out of there, as I mentioned on another show, sooner or later that Gulf Stream is going to carry that right over to Europe. And it would be very interesting to see how that gift is received by the Europeans, particularly the British, who are going to be surrounded by it once it envelops their little island over there. And, you know, it's all going to be like an enormous readjustment of what we understand as the ecology of the world. This tragedy will never allow us to be the same from this time forward. It's that bad. And people are just so complacent. Oh, the government will figure it out. Well, the government has already figured it out. They're involved. It's as clear as a bell. And, you know, the rest of the world has to sit back and suffer the consequences for a bunch of thugs who are just trying to figure out another way of separating humanity from their wealth. And that's basically what it comes down to.
Yeah. Last weekend, you had the President of the United States, who's clearly an illegal alien and has no business even being in this country without papers. He has no business being on this soil. You have him playing golf, and you have the media talking about what a great job he's doing, how this is being taken care of. And then the CEO of BP is riding his yacht around the Isle of Wight over the same weekend. Does this sound like two people important in the world, at least in their minds I think they are, that give a damn about what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico and the problems? No, they're counting their money. They're counting their money because they got their Ponzi schemes. Truot's correct. It is a Ponzi scheme. No doubt about it. They got their Ponzi scheme in place. They're going to collect the money. Why fret over some dying animals? Why fret over the fact that they may be forced to move 50 million people out of their homes? Or else they're going to die.
Yeah, and that takes us to another point of interest. Once they decide to move those 50 million people, where are they going to put them? You know, what I smell is the beginning of a real interesting situation where the American citizens are going to wind up in camps just like the Japanese Americans were forced to endure during World War II. You got a lot of open space in Texas, in Arizona, New Mexico. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if that's what these people have in mind for the population of the Gulf states.
Well, there's a number of governors in that region, as well as other parts of the country who are standing up to what's going on with the federal government. They're standing up and they're putting together their state militias, their state military reserves, and their state militias, and their state guards. And they've, you know, the word is out. Now, whether this is actually true or not, we'll never know unless we can get all these people out into a live interview where they're not afraid to speak about what's happening. But they were allegedly threatened. 14 state governors were threatened and warned that they were going to be arrested for treason for doing that. The states have those rights. Who is this guy, this clown, this infiltrator?
Well, he's the one who should be arrested for treason.
Well, he's not even a citizen.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah. But yeah, he should be. My God, this is changing the subject just a little bit. But you know, this guy lies about whether or not he knew Rod Blagojevich. And he's in pictures with the guy. And pictures that were taken long before he allegedly met him, you know. He says he met him one time. He's in photo ops, and certainly there were lots of conversations about his Senate position being up for sale, which is what that whole deal about Blagojevich is about, and who they were going to put in that position. The corruption and his dealings with Tony Rezko, Syrian businessman in Chicago. Just corruption everywhere. And there's no doubt this guy is a CIA agent. Absolutely no doubt. There's no doubt he didn't go to Columbia University. There's no doubt that he didn't go to Harvard University. There's no doubt that he didn't attend the Punahou School in Hawaii. And they got him on tape saying he's from Kenya, which is another lie. But nonetheless, he's saying he's not an American. He flat out said that on videotape. I've got the tape of that, too. I can play that for you. It's amazing. So just lie. Say one thing today. Tomorrow's another day. Say another lie, and people will forget the first one. And that's all we're getting through this travesty that's occurring there. Intentional, absolutely intentional, all the writing's on the wall. Where is the FBI? Why aren't they arresting these people? Why aren't these people in jail? Including the CIA. Arrest them, too, because they're part of this. My God.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more. The problem is, how bad do things have to get before people realize that the American dream is a bloody nightmare? Okay, so the Gulf states have to be destroyed. The people have to lose their livelihood, their fishing ability, their natural resources, their swamplands, the Everglades, all the Florida beaches, and all of the economy associated with tourism in those states, and God only knows what else, because there's going to be disease, there's going to be death, there's going to be all kinds of lung problems, cancers, and I couldn't even begin to tell you what all. And, you know, when are they going to wake up that this is something that was put upon them deliberately? And even if they don't believe that, let's assume that they don't ever accept the fact that this is a false flag event. Okay, fine. But how do you explain the fact that absolutely nothing is being done? Isn't that enough to enrage you all by itself? I know how I feel about it.
Yeah, well, you're
I
not
know right. How you feel about it.
Yeah, I was going to say. You're not asking me that question, I hope.
No.
Well, I certainly know that a lot of listeners are concerned. I mean, I get email. I've talked to a lot of people, Jim, from all over the country. And they're outraged at what's happening. They are. And it's going to touch people. Eventually, it's going to touch enough people that this whole thing is going to backfire on those that created this.
Well, I sure hope so, because that's exactly what they deserve. And the interesting thing is, if history can be believed at all, just remember that when something like that gets started, it always overflows its bounds. If you look at the French Revolution, the people that lost their heads were not just the king and queen. There were thousands of people that lost their heads. And that's exactly what's going to happen here. It may take a little time, but these people will eventually regret what they've started.
Yes. Well, I want to, for anybody that would like to read some background, and this is, I can't say I disagree with what Truot said. There is definitely a lot of pollution going on. He's also saying that a lot of this is staged. And to an extent, that could be very true.
Explain that, please. A lot of what is being staged?
Well, a lot of the damage is being staged. They appear to be recycling a lot of this asphalt tar, these tar balls, and they're collecting them on ships, and they've been basically scooping them up. This has been going on for a long time. This is not a new thing. Some of these are as much as a ton in weight, and they look pretty polished. To give you a description, they're put on these barges, and then they're taken to the shore, and dumped on the beach or wherever they decide they want to have it. That's certainly going to act as a pollutant of sorts. I'm talking about Truat. He seems to think, and possibly with reason, that there's something going on other than what they're telling us. There's proof that there was a lot of fracturing on the bottom of the ocean there, and that oil has been coming up for some time, and that this whole event was to create this disaster. You know, think problem, reaction, solution. Okay, this is supposed to be the ultimate event to push those lawmakers who are sitting on the fence onto their side to authorize this cap and trade, which is nothing but another Ponzi scheme. Guaranteed, because it's all based on fictitious science anyway. They're not putting the truth out. You've got Al Gore, who for the past 2 or 3 years has been parading around the planet, spouting off amongst his credentials of having invented the internet. The next one is, he discovered global warming. And you don't hear anybody mention global warming now, do you? While you have an oil well on fire and you have oil spewing into the ocean. This is all to put people in line to make money so that they can charge us more money for using the products that they create. And they're going to play these funds in the stock market. It's a Ponzi scheme. It is. It's a Ponzi scheme. Charles Ponzi made his money by selling cheap stamps or selling credits to people on cheap stamps. And he made money by robbing Peter to pay Paul, and he got caught. It was the start of the SEC. He started the SEC with a Ponzi scheme, and they arrested him, and then they took over the reins. What a great idea this guy had. Let's do it. Let's write it up so it looks legitimate. And that's what the stock market's been all these years. Same as the banking industry. This is just another scheme to oppress the people of the world, to put us under their thumb. Who are these? They're a bunch of a handful of reptilians is what they are. That's all they are, is some reptilians that have been controlling and extorting and blackmailing politicians for 100 years. They've been doing this all over the world, not just in this country. And this is just their big power play. And it's got to be death in it, you know? It's got to be death. Got to kill millions of people. They got to kill animals. They got to kill everything that's defenseless. They have to kill it. And they have to put it right in our face. Like we're too dumb to see what they're doing. Well, maybe
now,
some of us...
Now, they want to be very careful that the shoe doesn't wind up on the other foot.
I think they're putting it on the other foot, aren't they?
As far as I'm concerned, they are.
You know, so there's a lot still happening. Now, you know, what is really happening with the devastation, Well, they're lying about it. They don't let people fly over to see what's actually going on. They don't want anybody to see that. If everything's under control and they've got this problem managed, why are they afraid to have people see what's happening? What gives them authority to stop us from seeing what's happening?
I was just going to ask you that very question. Who's controlling the airspace that says that somebody can't fly over there and take pictures?
Well, obviously, somebody's kowtowing to the whims of BP, which is the Rothschild.
Well, it would be very interesting to find out just how that works. Because it's very important to find out if our military is involved or if this is all done by private security groups. It makes a heck of a difference, you know.
Yeah, you have to speculate here. Is this Admiralty law taking over the seas here and the land? Well, you know, they have all those secret agreements too, Jim. Those secret historical agreements that have been around for several hundred years that most people still don't know about. The secret agreements to pay England 50% of the mineral rights from the United States. If that doesn't make us a colony, still, I don't know what does. And 5% of retail sales on top of it. They don't tell us the truth. So does it really matter who's making the laws in Washington? When you got that noose around your neck? To start off from square one? And who gets assigned that responsibility, that debt? The people. People get, and for our efforts, for our troubles, what do we get in return?
Short life, full of misery, and a cheap funeral.
Yeah, exactly. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Well, now there are alerts coming out, Jim, about toxic gases. And they're popping into my mailbox as we speak right now.
Toxic gases where? In the Gulf region?
Well, in the Gulf, and I'm sure there's some in Washington, too. There's always that problem.
Yeah, but they seem to enjoy that atmosphere. They wallow in it.
Yes. Well, you can tell I'm fired up tonight, and I can tell you are too, and you're doing a great job restraining yourself. I guess the tipping point for me was just seeing this CNN anchor just go by the CIA rule book, the propaganda rule book, flat out. And you know, I can smell these guys a mile away, but I'm telling you. Tonight was just over the top. And they have the gall to ask us to send money. They have the gall to ask us to send money. Like something's going to be done with that money, you know, that would make it right.
Well, it'll probably wind up fueling Pelosi's jet, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, or her train from California to Hawaii. Well, you were going to say something there, Jim, and I cut you off.
No, that's okay. It was just a dig at another corrupt imbecile, but there are more important things to talk about, I guess. The thing that irks me the most, like I've said several times, is the fact that absolutely nothing is being done. And, you know, what's interesting, you brought up the fact that that all these governors of these states have actually been threatened that if they stand up to the federal government, they're going to be interpreted as being, treasonous or traitors. The fact of the matter is, to my knowledge, there are a bunch of states that are nowhere near the Gulf that are rewriting laws, that are rearranging their internal affairs in such a way that they are excluding the federal government from everything. And, you know, Arizona's a good example. Look at the problems they're having simply because they want to stand up for what's right. I mean, it just goes to show you which side of the fence the federal government is on. You don't really have to be that bright to figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
And sooner or later, you're going to wind up with 50 states that are anti-government. It's only a question of time. And the government, in its infinite stupidity, is accelerating the process, which is a good thing. It's just a shame that the price is going to be so high.
Have you heard the news that some law firms in Mexico were filing suit to stop Arizona from doing what they're doing?
No, but it wouldn't surprise me at all. You know, why not? Nowadays, anything goes.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see just how that's handled, though. You know, where are these lawsuits south of the border going to be filed? And just how is that going to be handled? Are they federal or are they state lawsuits? I mean, you know, who are they suing?
Want to sue Arizona.
Well, I say good luck with that, you know. Come right to the border. We'll give you your fair share.
Well, it's just a never-ending parade of insanity. That's the best way to describe it.
And it's definitely escalating. I don't care how you look at it. It's going to be out of control very soon. It is.
Now, as much as we've talked about the oil, you know, there's this issue of this Corexit 9500 dispersant, as they like to call it. And much of the toxicity that's being experienced in the Gulf right now is due to that. And when you look at these underwater pictures, stop and ask yourself a question, Jim. They're able to go down there a mile with a camera and set this camera up and have this camera taking pictures of this oil gusher. And the camera is faithfully taking these pictures. Nothing's affecting it. But they can't go down there with a submarine. Can't do that. They've got robots down there, and now they're saying the robots actually messed up the cap that they put on this wellhead, and they have to redo it. Now the robots, I mean, if that's a true story, the robots are programmed by people, right? What idiot programmed that robot to knock the cap off after it put it on? And
well, see, it's just another example of the long-term effects of our educational system. You can't even have a smart robot.
Yes. Yes. And looking at what I see come out of that plume is spewing different colors. I mean, the oil has a basic consistency, doesn't it? Would it come out just red and then just yellow, and as if it's coming out of different hoses? That's what it looks like from what I've seen. It's like they got three or four hoses tied together and that camera sitting beside them at the bottom of the ocean taking this picture of this stuff coming up. It's beginning to look contrived, and I'm starting to lean towards Truat's comments about that.
Well, what did Truat say about that? I'm not familiar with it.
Well, basically, he's saying that this is a whole manufactured event, that you're seeing images. You might as well be seeing images of airplanes flying into buildings. Okay, because mm-hmm. there were images of airplanes doesn't mean that there were airplanes on 9/11. That's the point I'm making.
No, I understand. Well, the funny part about it is, you know, have you seen these new reality programs where they got cameras all around the house and they just basically televise what people do all day long, which I don't know anything that could be more boring. So now they've even taken it a step further. They got a camera watching millions of gallons of garbage coming out of a hose, and it's there for your enjoyment 24 hours a day. I mean, isn't that a marvel? I mean, talk about reality TV. Incredible.
Yep.
But what's really terrifying is not so much the nature of the disaster as the fact that I'm sure you got people sitting there eating popcorn watching this.
And drinking beer.
Oh, yeah, I have to have the beer.
Well, the only thing I can say is it's time to get these jokers out. It's time to get rid of them. Send them to another planet from whence they came. It's time to do that. It really is.
Or another planet where they didn't come from would work too.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Jim, I know for those new listeners out there that aren't really familiar with your background, you know a heck of a lot about power production and the different ways that that power can be created. This is kind of stupid that we're even going through this, isn't it? Just based on what you know in science and what possibilities there are.
Well, you know, it's the old story that it doesn't matter what's good for the planet or what's good for mankind. You know, these creeps have their hooks into a natural or at least a semi-natural source of fuel that they have built their entire world upon, and they're not going to let it go. And don't forget that this is combined also with the rest of the world's attempts to return to some form of sanity in terms of the collateral situation, the money situation. We have fiat money here, which nobody else wants, and rightfully so. And, you know, there have been attempts to put into operation a new form of gold-backed currency, which would be recognized worldwide. And this entire organization that's based on the fiat approach to life doesn't want to yield. And, you know, they're kicking and screaming and holding out as long as possible. And, of course, they have the mindset that if we can't rule, we'll destroy. And as long as we're destroying, let's make money on it, you know. That's the same old story over and over again. They're apparently incapable of positive creativity. The only place where they can put their energies are in the development of new modes of destruction, and they always find a way to make a buck on it. And actually, the rest of the human race are saps for letting it happen. You know, I'm so ticked off at the whole thing that I have to really watch every word that I utter, especially on the air, because, the negative emotions, at least in me, are reaching a very critical threshold. And I just hope that the rest of the country is similarly affected.
Yeah, I agree with you. Well, I appreciate you allowing me to rant and withstanding my rant. I guess I'm speaking for a lot of other people because I'm in communication with a lot of people that are very concerned about what's going on. And these are intelligent people, Jim, and they're caring people. And they know that part of this whole situation, they would like to see us just lose it. You know, they'd like to see us lose our cool and maybe even start acting like them. See, to give them justification for what they want to do. You got a guy in Washington that has no business being there whatsoever. And really a whole succession of them. This is not the first infiltrator. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jim, I couldn't make out a word you were saying there.
I said, yeah, there's a whole succession of them. I believe it started with Lincoln, and it continues to the present day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and this dog and pony show in Washington is ridiculous, too. You know, people have to start calling C-SPAN, call their, you know, when they have their live show. You know, you might get lucky for 5 seconds and get a little bit of the truth out. But people have to start standing up. Stop supporting the mainstream media. And demand, you know, the best way, best thing you can do is not watch it at all. Because then you're not impulsed by the commercials to spend your money on their product.
Yeah, I mean, we have to start looking for ways to hit them in the hip pocket, because aside from cracking their skulls, that's the only thing that they really understand. If you stop the money flow, the monster will die, and that's just basic. That's just basic common sense.
Yeah. Well, Jim, we're out of time. I appreciate your input and your willingness to allow me to play that clip. That was a long clip. I'm sorry you couldn't make it out. I heard it came out over the airwaves clearly, so that's the drawback. See, with all this technology, they still haven't gotten the phone right, have they?
Don't get me started on that subject. That could be a show unto itself.
Well, maybe we'll do one on phones, okay, in the future. Certainly, next week I'll entertain the possibility of you bringing some solutions forward as to where our thinking should be. And let's get this Stone Age technology out of our consciousness.
Well, it would be a nice thing to do that, considering the fact that there have been so many alternative possibilities around in the last 120 years, and most all of them have been squashed one way or another.
Well, I think those days are short-lived, to tell you the truth.
I hope so.
Well, Jim, thank you, and I want to wish you a great weekend. I look forward to your next show on Evident Footprints next Friday, and thank you.
My pleasure, Don, as always. I just hope that all of our verbal complaints, you know, reach hearts and minds around America and the world, and people realize that, you know, we are facing a really critical time in our history, not only in this country, but globally. And it's up to us to make it turn out right. If we let it go, the people who will mold it the way they want it will not have our best interests at heart. And that's been demonstrated a million times.
Yes. Well, okay. Thank you, Jim. You have a great night and a great weekend.
Thank you, Don. Same to you.
Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. We'd like to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com for carrying the show as well. Special thanks to Seth Hendrick on the sound, Don and Doug Newsom at bbsradio.com for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me next Monday when my special guest will be Dr. H. Huat. In the meantime, I wish everyone a great weekend and a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.